at the conclusion of the story of the way Klal Yisrael were exiting Egypt, Korban Pesach, the Matzahs, etc. Chumash tells us, we're in the 12th chapter, the 40th Pasuk, that the Moshav of the children of Israel, the amount of time they had during which they dwelled in Egypt, was 430 years. It was at the end of the 430 years, and it was on that very day, Vayhi Be'etzem HaYom Hazeh, that all the legions of Hashem left the land of Egypt. Pasuk Membeis, this will be our Pasuk Amir Hashem for today. It is a night of anticipation for Hashem to take them out of the land of Egypt. The literal Hebrew is that this is a Lel Shimurim. This is the night of watching. This was a night for Hashem, a protection for all the children of Israel for their generation. And again, the end of the Pasuk uses the same words. Rabbi Arskroll here is really basing himself on Rashi when he translates as anticipation and protection, as we'll see. But the end of the Pasuk is, Hu alayla zeh la Hashem. This is a night for Hashem. Shimurim l'chol b'nei Yisrael l'doratam. A keeping for all the children of Israel for their generation. So obviously the first question we have to ask is, why is this idea of Lel Shimurim, the night of watching, repeated twice? Right, the beginning of the Pasuk, it's a night of watching for Hashem. And the end of the Pasuk, this was a night for Hashem, protection for all the, or Shimurim for all the children of Israel, l'doratam, for all generation. The second question we need to understand is, well, what does Lel Shimurim, what is that all about? And our final question, and we'll touch on all of these with God's help, is why does Hashem indeed need to be watching or anticipating? Let Hashem just redeem us. What's this idea of watching us, of guarding the night? And obviously, we'll touch on as well, Amir Hashem, is how does the Lel Shimurim impact us in our own lives? So if we take a look just on a technical level, source 2, Rashi, what is the double language of Shimurim? So the word has two meanings in this verse. The first time it refers to Hashem's pledge to Abraham. He reserved this night for the miracle and anticipated its coming throughout the 430 years. So Lel Shimurim is a night, as is translated here, of anticipation. Hashem is waiting, right? V'aviv shamar tadavar. He's waiting, he's anticipating. When is it going to come? Like v'sharu b'nei sot Shabbos. We anticipate Shabbos all week. And the second time the word is used refers to the protection from the plague that Hashem extended to the Jews that night. From then on, the first night of Pesach becomes the time when Hashem protects Israel. So Rashi divides up the pasuk. The first is that Hashem was anticipating when this night was going to come. And the second level, the second part of the pasuk is, this is a night of protection for Klal Yisrael at that time, that no negative forces should affect them at the time of Yitzhak Mitzrayim. And likewise, for all of history, this will be a night of protection. The Ramban understands the second part of the Pasuk slightly differently. And he says in Source 3a, the explanation of this is a night for Hashem, a keeping for all the children of Israel generations, is that this night which was kept, i.e. set aside or anticipated by Hashem, to take the Israelites out of Egypt, is unto Hashem. That is to say, it is sanctified unto Hashem. That's what it means. Hu alayla zeh la Hashem. It is sanctified for Hashem. Shimurim l'chol b'nei Yisrael l'doratam. What does it mean? This is a sanctification. Takes the form of keeping for all the children of Israel for their generations. Meaning that they shall keep this night to worship before Hashem on it, through eating the Pesach offering and recalling the miracles he performed for us to give praise and thanks to his name. So the end of the Pasuk, Shimurim l'chol b'nei Yisrael l'doratam, means that this is a night that the Jewish people keep la Hashem, to Hashem, by showing homage to Hashem, by performing the mitzvot. And as the Ramban, the Arskroll Ramban commentary in 3b points out by the arrow, Ramban's interpretation differs considerably from that of Rashi, who interprets the second Shimurim of our verse to mean protection as opposed to observance, and La Hashem to mean by Hashem as opposed to for the sake of Hashem. According to Rashi, keeping all the children of Israel means that Hashem keeps this night for them. Well, according to Ramban, it means that the Israelites are to keep this night for Hashem by worshiping him, by keeping the mitzvahs. Rav Hirsch, to a certain degree, combines both of these answers together in Source 4. Shimurim, this form which occurs nowhere else in Scripture, signifies that the care was intensive, piel, and abundant, plural. For centuries, Hashem had directed his manifold solicitous care toward this night, caring for and educating all of his Tzva'ot. So on this night, a nation reborn that would carry out a divine mission to mankind, which is the first Shibarim in the Pasuk, Hashem has been guarding and watching this night. Henceforth, this night is entrusted for Hashem's sake to this nation, which is to devote to this night manifold and solicitous attention, so as to accomplish the mission assigned to it on this night with complete dedication in every generation. So Hashem was watching in order to have this nation be born. The second part of the pasuk is, henceforth, this nation which was to be born is going to accomplish Hashem's purpose, LaHashem, what Hashem envisioned them to do, and that which He envisioned them to do was to keep the mitzvot. And in that respect, notes Rav Yerucham in source 5 in the Das Torah, when it says that this is a Leil Shimurim, and Rashi says that this is a night of protection from all the mazikim, from all the negative forces that might try to harm us. Hinei dafka be'esaka mitzvot shel zeh halayla mishumarim hei min hamizikim. It's not like there's some magic potion that the night of Pesach protects us, right? You know, you blow something in the air and shoof, there's a, you know, like a magic bubble that protects us from anything that's going to harm us. No. It's the mitzvot that we do. It's us being shomer. It's us guarding. It's a Ramban, as Rav Hirsch, Rav Sofer, and Sikh. It's us guarding the mitzvot of that day. Ushmartem et ha-mitzvot, as the Pasuk in our Parsha says. It's guarding the mitzvot that creates the protection on this night. Ukepesach Mitzrayim kenu lala pesach l'toratam. This is what the Pasuk is indicating. For the generations, there is this promise that Meshumar Uvar, that there's going to be this protection, b'chol dor v'dor, in the asterisks, in every generation. Shimurim, in the plural, every generation. Anachtu b'shmirotenu anu. We, by keeping and guarding the mitzvot, shomer yotanu kodesh baruch hu matzilenu mi'adam, and Hashem protects us from any mashri, from any destructive force. And that, my friends, translates into how we, in our vernacular, understand the night of Pesach. We say it's a Leil Shimurim. It's a night of guarding. It's a night of protection. And hence, as the Sefer Minhagim on Pesach in Source 7 notes, Lo yinol hadela bevriyah chazach. Don't put on all your bolts and locks on the night of the Seder. Dehechi deshchiach hezeka lo samchina naifse. When there is a place to, you know, we don't rely on miracles, and if there's, you know, robbers around, so you lock your doors, but you don't lock it and bolt it with all the bolts and locks, because there is a higher level of protection on this night. Likewise, Noagim likrot al mita rak parshat shema v'lo shar dvarim shekarim b'shar leilo kedei lahagen kilo shimurimu. Again, the question of, do you just say shema, and hamapio, but we don't say on the first night of Pesach all the other Yoshiva Seder and all the other Pirkei Tehillim and all the other tefillos of protection, because it's a night of Shimurim, it's a night of protection, and all those evil forces that may come and do something to our neshama that's not so good, is this night is a night that we are safe from them. And again, as the footnotes point out, in B through D, then again, how well are you going to bolt down your house? Obviously depends on where you live. I know people in L.A., who didn't lock their house at all. According to this, maybe that's not so smart if you know that robbers are around. But however, if you normally lock it with three locks, so you only lock it with, you know, less locks on the night of Pesach, because it's a Leil Shimurim. So again, what we need to understand, and this is idea number one for today, is that Leil Shimurim isn't some magic. Leil Shimurim is based on the Klal Yisrael and keeping the mitzvot of the night, thereby, just like in Yitzhiyah Mitzrayim, right, the time repeats itself, and you have that same energy. Just like in Yitzhiyah Mitzrayim, Hashem didn't allow any, that force that went out to destroy the firstborns, to attack the Jews, it was this protection. Every night when we do the mitzvot of Pesach, there's this extra level of protection on the Jews. However, don't do things that aren't so smart. Okay. Now let's try to understand a little bit deeper what is this idea of Lo Shimurim, the night of guarding. And really the question becomes is, why is, taking again the first level of Rashi, that this was a night that Hashem was anticipating? Shamur is not just to guard, it's to anticipate, it's to anxiously await. So why is it that Hashem needs to anxiously await the coming day? Why doesn't just Hashem take us out? What's the purpose of this anxiously awaiting? It's interesting, we make mention of this anxiously awaiting in the Haggadah itself. Take notes. You're starting already early. Source 8. We say at the beginning of the Haggadah, when we begin with, right before Vehi She'amda, we say, Baruch Shomer Havtach Lo Yisrael. Blessed is he who keeps his pledge to Israel. Blessed is he, for the Holy One, blessed is he, calculated the end of the bondage, and in order to do as he said to our father Avram at the covenant between the pieces, etc. Notes the Haggadah Maisa Nisim in source number 9. He says, what's the point of thanking Hashem, Baruch Shomer Avtacho? We're thanking Hashem for Shomer, right? Lo Shimurim, for guarding, for upkeeping this promise. So he says, Achar Lekiyum Avtacha Kishikemra. One is to thank Hashem of the fulfillment of the promise. Sheni Al Shechashav Oto B'meshach Hazman L'lod Sarach Etzlo. Hashem was thinking about this, even though he didn't need to act on this. This is just to show everyone how much Hashem loves us. And that in itself, on the squiggly bilvad, just the fact that Hashem remembers us, just the fact that Hashem, on the forefront of Hashem's mind, when am I going to redeem the Jewish people? That in itself creates an impression, that in itself creates a reality in this world. This idea that the remembering itself creates a feeling of love and connection is an idea that Rav Ezrahi speaks about again in Birkas Mordechai on the Haggadah. And he says, Halashon Shomer Haftacho Omer Darsheni. That language needs to be explored. It should say that Hashem was Shomer, was Mikayim Haftacho, that he upkept his, he fulfilled his promise. There's a value in just guarding and watching. And he notes, first of all, many people make promises, and many things, different things happen, whether from the side of the person making the promise, or from the side of the one whom was promised, that could break that promise, right? I promise you $1,000, and then, you know what? The person goes bankrupt, they can't promise $1,000. They can't give that money. Promise someone a $1,000 loan, and suddenly they get money. Oh, I don't need the loan anymore. So not always when a promise is made, a promise can be fulfilled, again, from both sides. When Hashem promises us something, HaKadosh Baruch Hu adheres to that promise. And not only does he adhere to that promise, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gam shomer et havtachot etzmam. He guards the promise itself to ensure that the promise will happen. Obviously not from his side, but from our side. Like in our case, Hashem promised that we would be in exile 430 years. We were only there 210 years. And we know that the making the labor much harder in the intensification was as if we were there for longer. So Hashem arranged it by watching the promise. He's arranging it to make sure that the promise is going to be fulfilled no matter what happens. But why does Hashem do this? So the answer is, Achaskeru Shema, middle of 11, Omnam Chashuva Ma'od HaTova Kishol Atzma. There's a point in just the promise itself. And that is, Shmirat HaBrit HaZot, HaBali Dei Bitui B'Dagah La'etzem Kiyuma, making the promise, ensuring the promise is going to happen, U'B'Shleimut B'Tzu'al Prateha, This is the chesed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the kindness from Hashem. Hashem just doesn't make a promise. He's watching the promise at all times to see, how can I maneuver this? How can I maneuver that? How can I work on this? How can I work in that? To make the promise be fulfilled in the fastest way, in the easiest way, in the best way. So just to promise something and fulfill the promise, that's very nice. But Baruch Shem, shomer avtacha, when Hashem is watching the promise, He's ensuring that the promise is going to take place in the easiest way possible, in the best way possible, in the fastest way possible. It's like always on His radar, and He's waiting to see, when could this happen, when could that happen? The watching the promise, so to speak, is a chesed in its own right. Taking this one step further, my friends, notes the Das Torah at the end of 12, we learn here a very beautiful lesson for our lives. The way, the nature of a person is, when we make a promise to somebody, and then we fulfill our promise. I'm forced, I have to keep my promise. What do you want from me? I'm doing it because I made a promise. But it's not really coming from my desire to really help you out. This is not the way of Hashem. Who will develop this a little bit more in Yirtz Hashem today? Hashem, who desires kindness with His avtacha, He is watching to the moment it can be fulfilled. Lel shimrimi l'Hashem b'midas Hashem. Hineu shomer mitzapel oto alayla. He can't wait for it to happen. Like, I make a promise. You know what? I promise you I'm going to give you X, or I'm going to do X, or I'll meet you. So I look at my calendar and say, oh, I promise this person I'm going to meet them today. It just doesn't fit into my schedule. It's really a pain in the neck. But you know what? A promise is a promise. I'm going to go ahead and do it. And very often, not always, but we have an attitude. We have a little bit of a chip over our shoulder. You know, if I hadn't promised, oh, I can't believe I promised. Now I have to do what I promised. Kadosh Baruch Hu isn't that way. His promise is done with love. Ki chafetz chesedu. His promise is done with, I can't wait to be able to do this. I'm so excited to do this. This is what I want to do. I made a promise because I like you. And I want a gift to you. So I can't wait to show you my appreciation, my love, my ability to give to you. Adam ha-mavtiyach l'chaveiro, l'mashal sh'l'acharei shavu'l yamim yelovenu ezez chum kesef. So he says practically, let's say you make a promise to someone, after a week's time, you'll lend them that money. He named Mitzad v'alachta v'drocha. Als v'alachta v'drocha, which we've been speaking about the last few weeks, to emulate Hashem's way. He named kol ha'ed alav leshev l'tzapot. During that whole week's time, you should be sitting anticipating. Matai kvar yavo etzmanch yuchal l'kayeh ma'sheiv t'uich lo. I can't wait to give what I promised him. Nifla ma'od ha'inyan. Wow. Could you imagine, my friends? Two people make the same promise. I'll lend you $1,000 next week. And one person's like, oh, I made this promise. I guess I have to do it. I really don't want to do it. And the other person is, oh, I can't wait. I'm going to do this chesed. I'm going to emulate a Kadosh Baruch Hu. V'alachta b'drachu. Every day is bringing me one day closer that I can fulfill my promise, that I can give this person what I wanted. Same $1,000. Same week. Same deals of the terms of the deals. But an entirely different experience. One is doing the mita of chesed, bare bones, and one is doing the mita of avas chesed, of loving kindness, and on a higher level of alachta bedrachav, emulating Hashem. And my friends, just as a parenthesis, attitude goes a far way. And this is true not only in this case of making a promise and fulfilling it, but in anything that we do, that we... The way our rubric of our mindset can create a whole different change. I had that this morning. I had a conversation with a nurse at the doctor's office. And we were schmoozing. She was telling me that she was a midwife and then made aliyah. She decided what was best for her kids to, you know, work in this doctor's office. And, you know, she's doing this because the hours are good and she likes to work with people and v'chule v'chule. So I said to her, I said, you know, there's a famous story of the Chofetz Chaim, who went to a pharmacist who wasn't religious. And the Chofetz Chaim said to him, you know, I'm so jealous of you. And the man looks at the Chofetz Chaim, why are you jealous of me? He says, because you are involved in emulating Hashem every day of alachta b'drachav, walking in Hashem's ways, of doing chesed, that every single prescription you fill is doing a chesed to another person. I said to her, before you work with anybody, before anyone walks into your office, someone knocks on the door, you say to yourself, I am emulating Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem mahu chanun, just like He's merciful, I am merciful. Hinni mu chanun zuman, and behold, I'm about to do the mitzvah of following in Hashem's ways, the mitzvah of chesed, that same strep culture, that same whatever it is a whole different experience. And my friends, that's true not only of a nurse, it's true for almost all of our professions that we work with people, that we have the ability to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, let's see another aspect of, or development of aspect of this Lev Shimurim. What is this idea of watching, of guarding? So the Sforno in source number 13 points out, it was a night of watching to Hashem to bring them out, He looked forward to bringing them out. Ki lo inabilibo, he does not willingly afflict. But he did not find Israel ready or worthy for redemption until that night. And as for this, he watched and waited, for he desires kindness. Ki chafetz chesedu, as our sages say, the Holy One, blessed be He, calculated the end. Notes the Chochmana Matzpun, quoting the Das Torah. Das Chochma Musa, Rav Yerucham again. He says the following. We see from here, my friends, Lomdim Anu Bezeh, the Arrow 14, Yesod Gadol B'midato Yitbarach. We see a tremendous thing, a tremendous fundamental principle. Shegam Bo Tosha Shaya Yitbarach Ochez V'midat Mishpat Hinehu Rav Chesed. The very time that Hashem is involved in judgment, He's involved in chesed at the same time. The very time that He said, you know, you guys, Vavadum v'inuatam ababal chana, you're going to be afflicted and, you know, enslaved, etc. for 400 years. At that very same moment, from that moment go, where He pressed the button, affliction time, Hashem is waiting. When can I redeem them? There is that duality at the same time of punishment and kindness. At the moment of punishment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's deepest desire is to do good for us. El Shachid, who Gorem Ba'amakev, sin has prevented him. Hadam Batsmo, Gorem Shalichah HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kivyachol Leitivimah. We're the ones who stop Hashem from doing kindness. Omnam Becholzo, nevertheless, Gam Bo Tosha Al Kol Machshvato Kivyachol. Nevertheless, Hashem is waiting every moment. When can He do good? From that moment, Hashem is waiting. When can I do it already? When can I take them out? The asterisk, immediately at the moment of punishment, he was imagining, when is the moment going to come that I can redeem them? And on this, he notes, source 17, Umi yale al dato, shebechishe vetakesh, nichlal sod kokak gadol, shumim bidotav yitbarach. Vakomishum she'en olal dadat, davar shu hefech musageno. Says Rabbi Yerucham, you know what this really is about? And this is very deep. Even though Hashem has to punish, the underlying midah of Hashem, the underlying yisod of Hashem, that overtakes everything, it's Hashem, it's about chesed, that Hashem wants to do kindness, and that Hashem is awaiting and longing, well, when is this moment going to be? It's as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying, you're preventing me from doing what I want to do. As soon as you're able to change, I'm going to be able to give you what I'd like to give you. As Rav Volpe points out in Surah 16, when we say in the Haggadah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chishev et haketz, that Hashem was figuring out the time of the redemption, it's as if Hashem was counting the days and the minutes. When can I finally redeem them? And this is what it means. Hayom katzara balabai docheg. The day is short, and Hashem is in a rush. Shekar shbarchu docheg matai kvar yuchal aso chesani me'adav. What's the rush of Hashem? Hashem is waiting. When can I do kindness for the Jewish people? This is the midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the quality that we have to understand. This is in the asterisks in 17. This is Baal HaBayit Docheik. Docheik hu mi'iras HaShechina. We talk about that there's chibazon HaShechina. That kivyachol Hashem was in a rush. I have to get you out right now, right? Matzahs didn't have time to ride. What was this rush? You know, give them a break. Let them go up in Nacha. Slowly. No! The rush is because Hashem is so overwhelmed with a feeling of chesed. I can't hold myself back anymore. If it's a moment to redeem them, I'm going to redeem them right now. What is the impetus for the rush, the Baal HaBayit Docheik, the Shechina b'chipasa, and what is that? What is really going on here? It's a mitzvah of chesed. It's that power of that desire to do good. This is almost, he likens it to the Avraham Avinu, who was in greater pain, second paragraph in 17, that he wasn't able to feed guests, that there were no guests around than he was from the third day of Prismila. This is the goal of a Jew. What it means that Lel Shimurim, that Hashem is watching. It's not only that Hashem loves us and that Hashem is waiting. It's much deeper than that. And that the waiting itself is an aspect of love. It's ki chafet chesedu. This is the mita of the Borei Olam. The Borei Olam is looking at every moment. When can I finally do this chesed? And you know what, my friends? We have this opportunity to emulate a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Shitzarichu larutz l'maher achar ha-shchina. Im kein tzarichu la'mol b'zayar ha-pav. In the dot in 17. My God, gadla v'rava avodat ha-dam shetachlitai larutz achrei ha-Kodesh Baruch Hu kivyochu. If on the first aspect, like 1a, emulating Hashem is to look forward and anticipate with happiness and love, when can I do this favor? 1b is, I'm anticipating this love with this feeling and deep desire of all I want to do is chesed. All I want to do is help somebody out. That's my whole essence. That's my whole being. This is what it's all about. This is what it means to run after Hashem, to run after the Shechina. This is what it means to be a Yid. Rachmanim gam, Baishanim gom lechasadim. This is what's imprinted on us. That all I want to do is chesed. And all I want to do is with love. You know, I spoke to somebody yesterday looking for an apartment for the kids for the week of Sheva Bracha. And there are people that have these Chasim Kala apartments, so to speak. And so I spoke to this woman who I don't really know. And I asked her, okay, how much, you know, is it? She says, it's for free. I said, yeah, I can give you something. She says, I'd love to do chesed. And she says, if you need tables and if you need chairs, I have tables and chairs too. I have a few gemachs. And I said to her, wow, I'm envious of your Olam Haba. I'm envious. It wasn't just like, okay, here it is. You know, what dates do you want it? Okay, you know, sign on the dotted line. It wasn't that. It was like, you're doing me the greatest favor that I can do Yachesed for another Jew. Wow. This is what it's about. And I said to her, I said, I feel blessed that this couple, Amirtz Hashem, will be spending their first week in a home that's called Kulo Chesed. Can you imagine? Could you find a better place to, like, you know, everything goes after the beginning, to find a place that is exuding Va'alach de Midrachav, that is exuding Chesed? Like, wow! You know, I would pay anything for that amount of money for to be able to have that tzchus. Lo Shimuri, my friends, we ask, why does Hashem have to watch? Can't he just fulfill the promise? Baruch Shomer Avtacho. Watching is a form of waiting with anticipation of love. And that waiting with anticipation of love is based on the deeper ki chafet chesedu, that Hashem desires to do good. And that desire to do good is so passionate, so overwhelming, that at any moment Hashem will come down and say, you're deserving, boom. And it's like, ready to happen. Another way that the Mefarshim understand the Lel Shimurim, the night of watching, and not only the night of keeping the promise, is the approach of the Or Chaim HaKadosh, where he says in source number 18, Lel Shimurim Hu Lashem notes the Or Chaim HaKadosh, Yichaveina Katuv Lurmoz Hei Nisim Flaim Shizmanan Laila Zu. It's a night of watching means that it's a night that many miracles will happen on this night. Avraham Avinu was able to defeat the war of the four kings and the five kings. Chizkiyah HaMelech, right, 180,000 soldiers guarded that night. Mordechai and Esther, Balailahu Nadna Shat HaMelech, king couldn't sleep that night. That was the beginning of the redemption. And the final redemption, Mirza Shem will talk about, will happen on this night. Lel Shimurim means that this night is the Shoresh, double underline, beginning of 18, L'chol ha'yishuot v'nechamos o'kla yisro b'chol o'dorot. Lel Shimurim, it's not just that Hashem fulfilled the promise, which means it happened once, he fulfilled the promise. Lev Shimmerim means that Hashem is watching, plural Shimmerim, throughout all the generations. When Klal Yisrael need a redemption, Hashem is awaiting for this night to be the auspicious night to redeem Klal Yisrael. And indeed, the Taras Chesed in Source 20 points out many other things that happened on this night. That the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer says that Sarah was saved from Avimelech at this night. And that Yaakov Avinu got the bracha from Yitzchak Avinu on this night. The brothers went down to Mitzrayim on this day. There are many things that happened. It's a night that's auspicious for redemption. I will make mention in Source number 19, since we have our Haggadah already open taking notes, that the piyut at the end, which some people sing, some people don't, because some people don't know a tune, and some people just want to get to the songs they know, is Vayhi B'chatzi HaLaila. It's a piyut that is said on the first night in Eretz Yisrael, the only night of the different miracles that happen on this night. And Rav Mandelbaum notes, he says, albeit that not all the things mentioned in Vayhi B'chatzi HaLaila, that they all happened on the night of Pesach, but however, Shukulam Iru Dafka Balelos, what they do have in common is Vayhi B'chatzi HaLaila, they all took part at night, and the nighttime we know is the time of darkness, and all of these miracles are La'irata Chashecha, to enlighten the light. And that's really what we speak about in this song, Lo Yom Velo Laila. It's not day, it's not night, because it's a time where the night has turned, Laila Kayom Ya'ir, the night has turned into a day. It's a night of redemption. All of this aspect of Lo Shimurim is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing klapeinu, what Hashem is doing for us. He's watching with love, with chesed, and this night is an auspicious time throughout the generations. At the same time, we know that the end of the Pasuk focuses in on that it's a night of watching for us, that it's a Lo Shimurim L'chol B'nei Yisrael, L'dorotam. That's a night that we also have to watch. Yes, Hashem is watching us, but we also have to do something this night as well, as Ramban points out first, right? That we have to suffer. We have to do mitzvot on this night. So what is the dynamics of what does it mean that we have to respond to Hashem watching over us? Okay, I understand doing mitzvot. But let's look at it in the more abstract. Hashem makes this promise, ki chafetz chesedum, that Hashem is going to redeem us. Now to lel shimurim l'chol b'nei Yisrael, what is my job with that promise that Hashem makes me? How do I respond to that promise? So here, Rav Pinkus, that's Psalm 21, quotes that Rabbi Yerucham, the Das Torah, and he says, Kadosh Baruch Hu yesh shnei mahalchim. By Hashem, there are two ways. Reshit. First, he makes havtacha, a promise. Avol dain ein kiyum. But he doesn't fulfill the promise. V'achareichen yishno malach nosaf shel kiyum. Then he fulfills it. Again, we ask, why not just fulfill it? Why is there a need for a promise? Just when the right time comes, take us out. So here is the answer that he says in the bracket. Ki kidei shavtacha teitze el apoal aleha lavur tashlav shenikra emunah. In order for the promise to be fulfilled, there's a responsibility on our part. And that responsibility, in one word is called belief. Belief. Kasher yikayem ashlav shel munah b'havtacha. Once we believe in the promise, then the promise can be able to be brought into fruition. And the pasuk vaya emunat itcha chosen yeshua koch b'vadas, Chazal tell us, Gemara in Shabbos, emunot ze seder sarayim. Emunah refers to the Seder Zeroyim, to the first of the six Shisha Sedrei Mitzra, and the Tosfos brings down the Yerushalmi that Zeroyim is called Emunah because you're Mamin Bechai Ha'olamim V'Sareya. Anyone who plants has to be a believer. And Rav Pinkus develops this in the next paragraph in 21. A person takes seeds and puts them into a ground, right? Prepares the ground, puts seeds in the ground, and waters it. And then does what? Wait. And then what do? Wait some more. And then what do? Wait some more. If a person doesn't believe that there's something that's going to grow from this, they're going to say, you know what? Not only don't I have any produce, I've lost my seeds as well. They're just going to go into the ground and just, you know, pull up the seed. A person who is Zoreya has to be Maimim B'chai Ho'lamim and know that if I'm going to plant, it means that Hashem is going to over time. And again, it could be protracted time. He's going to fulfill this promise. And that is why there's a two-step process. Hashem gives a promise. And then Hashem steps back and says, okay, let's see how much you believe in the promise. To the extent that you believe in the promise, to the extent that you want to try to actualize this promise, to that extent, you're going to bring the promise to fruition. If you don't believe in the promise, and you don't believe redemption's going to happen, so taka, it's not going to happen. And the person's going to pull up the seeds, and then there's nothing for the wheat to grow from. My friends, this ability to have emunah, and again, anytime we talk about redemption, although we're talking about the national level, we're obviously simultaneously talking about the individual level. That a person has to be a maimin, a person has to believe that a Kadosh Baruch Hu takes care of them, ki chafetz chesedu. And again, it's a process. It might not happen overnight, but we need to have that emunah, we need to have that faith in the Ribono Shel Olam. This quality of emunah is stronger in women than in men. 22, the relationship between Emes and Emunah, Rabbi Taft, truth and faith, is one of male and female, which spans the entire creation and underlines its destiny. The Zohar says, Ihu Emes v'ihi Emunah, who Emes v'hi Emunah, he is truth and she is faith. Emes, truth, is that which is clear, provable, undeniable, seen. Emunah, faith, lives in the hidden domain, the domain in which doubt is possible. It can only be heard, never seen. The correct and essential translation of emunah is not faith in the sense of belief, but faithfulness, loyalty. Emes is male, a flash of clarity nor ordeal. Emunah is female. The seed is buried in the ground, unseed and needs nurture. Emunah is Seder Tzorayim, the area of agriculture, for that is where faith must be maintained. Seeds flourish only after protracted prayer. While growth is hidden and birth is not yet revealed, only the loyalty of emunah can bridge the long gap between Emes and the final stage of Geula, redemption. Pregnancy is a woman's task. Birth is a woman's reward. The Geula must be built by her. She has that capacity. In the merit of emunah, the loyalty, that tenacity to survive or deal, no matter how difficult and prolonged, will Geula be brought to the world. And throughout Jewish history, Jewish women have been the key to Geula. In Egypt, the women kept strong when the men were collapsing. The woman took full responsibility for preservation and continuation of the Jewish people. In the desert, the men sinned, but the woman did not. At Purim, the Geula was a woman's. Esther, Hanukkah, Yehudas. In the merit of righteous women, we were redeemed. In the merit of righteous women, we will be redeemed. Women most directly bear the difficulty of birth and merit thereby to be the agent of birth, the vessel of emunah, the teacher of emunah. He is Emes, she is emunah. Emunah lives in the das. Emunah must be known, it must be lived, it must supersede life itself. Only then it can be an agent of birth. It must know that Geula will come. We speak of the redemption in the present tense when we pray, Goel Yisrael, who redeems Israel, not who shall redeem, because emunah brings the present and the future. In emunah, Geula is certain. If it is absolutely certain, it can be experienced in the das even now. When the emes of Hashem's promise exists, emunah can speak of fulfillment of that promise in the present. V'tzadik b'emunato yichya, a righteous person lives by faith alone, by this loyalty. This is the role of the women. So my friends, when we understand that this night is a Lel Shimurim, it's a night of watching, it's a night where HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a avtacha, he makes a promise, and he's watching, when can I fulfill this promise? The end of the pasuk tells us, when will that happen? Lel Shimurimahu L'chol B'nei Yisrael, but in all generations, when Klai Yisrael are shomer, when Klai Yisrael watch this night, when Klai Yisrael guard this night, when Klai Yisrael have the emunah that indeed it's going to happen, then indeed it's going to happen. And it's for all generations. And that, my friends, brings us to the core of what we're talking about. Baruch Shomer Haftacha L'Yisrael, when we say, we thank Hashem for calculating the end of Galus Mitzrayim, that He would redeem us. Notes, Source 26, the Shibole Leket explains that these words do not refer to only Galus Mitzrayim, but rather they're assuring us regarding our present Galus and the final Geula. They are words meant to strengthen our will to endure. We should also be strengthened by the idea that although Klal Yisrael went through such a long and bitter galus in Mitzrayim, Hashem kept the cheshbon and knew when to take us out. Hashem kept His promise to redeem us once, and He will keep His promise to redeem us again. The Leil Shimurim is to remind us that we have to be waiting for the redemption. We have to believe that the redemption is going to come. Rav Schwab, in Surah 27, quotes the Chazal, the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish people were redeemed from Egypt in Nisan, and in Nisan will redeem once again. This pasuk tells us Hashem established the night of Pesach as the eternal night of redemption for the time of creation. Leil Shimurim means that this night is the night that's an auspicious time to indeed be redeemed. And listen to what Rosh Schwab says. He says, in my youth, I merited to spend a Shabbos on the eve of the month of Nisan, 1930, when Parshas HaChodesh was read with the Chafetz Chaim. Can you imagine being at the table of the Chafetz Chaim? Wow. That Friday night, the Chafetz Chaim said, in Nisan we will redeem, and in Nisan we will be redeemed again, even though we're obligated to await Mashiach's arrival every day, B'chol Yom Shiyavo, we should realize that there's a 50-50 probability of Him coming in the month of Nisan, much greater than the likelihood of Him coming in any other month. But what does the Yetzer Hara do? The Yetzer Hara attempts to make us think that the possibility of Mashiach coming is remote and casts doubts in our mind where the Mashiach will come at all. What a pity. You know what Leil Shimurim means, my friends? It means that when I say, you know, we're now, end of the month of Teve, we're benching the month of, we've just, you know, benched the month of Shvat, right? We say to ourselves, oh, Shvat, then I have other, it's not a leap year this year, then I have Nisan. Oh my, I gotta start preparing for Pesach. My friends, you know what it really means? Nisan? Wow, Nisan's coming? It means the probability of Mashiach coming is so much greater. Am I ready? Am I anticipating? Am I longing? The Malbim notes the Machlokin of the Gemara. The Gemara says, on this night, the 15th of Nisan, 28, they were redeemed. On this night, they were redeemed in the future. These are words of Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Eliezer states, on this night, they were redeemed, but in the future, they'll be redeemed in the month of Tishrei. So Rabbi Yeshua holds that it's going to be in the month of Nisan we're to be redeemed. Rabbi Eliezer holds it's going to be in the month of Tishrei. Although they seem to be arguing, Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer are in fact speaking about a separate aspect of the redemption. For sages have stated that there are two possible ways in which redemption can occur. If they're righteous, then he, the Mashiach, will arrive with the clouds. And if they're not righteous, then he'll arrive, an ani rochev al chamor, riding upon a donkey. This means that if the Jewish people are worthy of it, then the redemption will occur as a series of miraculous events, accompanied by supernatural signs and wonders. But if not, then the redemption will come about through hidden miracles, miracles that are close to nature, and that can be seemingly explained according to natural law. Tishrei symbolizes the natural, the time the world was created. The time-bound cause and effect system of nature, because Tishrei is the month when the natural world, with all its laws of nature and physics, were created. Nisan, by contrast, represents Hashem's miraculous mode of conduct, for in this month Hashem performed the outstanding miracles and wonders for the Jews of Mitzrayim. I'll note parenthetically, there are those with Farshim who explain that this is, in fact, reflected in the names of the Moraim who made these statements. Rabbi Eliezer, who said that we're redeemed in Tishrei, comes from the word azar, to help. Help means that you need somebody else to help you. You're weak. You need this Ezra. You need this help. Rabbi Yoshua is a higher level of, you know, Melech, Ozer, Umoshiach, Umagein. Ozer comes before Moshiach. Moshiach is a higher level of redemption. Rabbi Yoshua, that type of helping is going to be, you know, more supernatural. The Yeshua. Hence Rabbi Yeshua speaks about Nisan. Rabbi Eliezer speaks about Tishrei. And just important to note, in parentheses, within a parentheses, nothing is random. Why certain Amoraim or Tanaim make the statements that they make, it's very much related to who and what they are. Continues the Malbim. In Mitzrayim, Klal Yisrael felt that they weren't worthy, and nevertheless, they realized according to their actions, according to their spiritual levels, they were undeserving of such. Nevertheless, Hashem granted them the salvation. In the future, however, although this night is Hashem's, the night by which Hashem is prepared to redeem the Jewish people, this event awaits not Hashem, but rather it is waiting the entire Jewish children of Israel for their future generations. Depending upon the good deeds and righteousness level of that final generation, upon whether they be worthy or not. It's so simple, my friends. It's an easy calculation. Hashem says the Malbim, it's a Lel Shumuri. I am ready. Ki chafetz chesed hu. Hashem is waiting. He's going to figure out the ways, however it needs to work. Hashem is ready to redeem us. The question is, where are we? Nisan, Pesach, is an auspicious time for this to happen. We need to wake up, and we need to be shomer the bris. We need to guard our end of the deal. As Rav Lobie says, and again, we're talking about two levels of redemption here, both on the national level and on the personal level. Keep that in mind throughout what we're saying. If Hashem wants to redeem us, why does He just redeem us? Why the watching? So He says, Derech Olam Hu, Kishelo Alech L'Mishu. The way of the world is, if things aren't going your way, you say, oh, sorry, I need help from above. Kilu Kfar Asachelo, as if I've done all I can do. And you know what? Hashem isn't helping me out. This is a mistake. There's always siyata d'shmaya. There's always help from above. Hashpa'a, in the double underlined, Rabracha, Omdim, Mechakim, Lemishi, Kableim, Hashem is ready to give us to anyone who is open. Elosh l'kabel bracha tzarich kelim, but you have to make yourself a clean, open vessel to receive the blessing. Kishadam uchan lebracha v'larat panim, az mushpat hi lo ad b'li dai. When you're ready, then Hashem is going to give it to you without end. HaKadosh Baruch Hu ratzah l'gol Yisrael, el shelo yu lahem kelim lavil tagula, lachil tagula. We weren't open, we weren't ready. Right? That's how we had to do the mitzvahs in Egypt, to be able to hold on to Hashem's redemption. U'meshechinu Yisrael takelim miyad galam. When we're ready, when we're open, when we have achdus, when we have unity, when we have peace, when we create the kelim for redemption, Hashem says, I'll redeem you right then and there. What we need to realize, my friends, is that Enyanhu Shabash Ba'at Yitzhak Mitzrayim, says Rav Gifter Zatzam, Kfar Nishmar Koach HaGula L'Dorov. In the story of Yitzhak Mitzrayim is the kernel of the redemption for all ages. The question is, where are we? Let's bring this down to the world of the practical, my friends. Our job is to create, so to speak, the Lel Shimurim all year round, and to heighten that anticipation in the month of Nisan, and to have a super heightened awareness, right? Opening up the door of Eliyahu Navi, Mamish can come. This idea of being shomer, guarding, watching, anticipating, when will this gula come, is not something that's nice. It happens to be one of the questions on the final exam. There are only four, well, different versions of the Gemara. The Gemara on Shabbos has four. Were you honest in business? Did you try to have children or help people have children? Right? There are four different questions. You had time to study Torah, Kavati Yitim Torah, and one of them is, Sipita Lishua, did you anticipate the redemption? Not did you believe in the redemption, did you anticipate it? Listen to the Rambam. The Siva Shalom quotes the 33. Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Malachim. HaMelech Mashiach Atid Lamo V'chule. The Mashiach is going to come. V'chol mi. Perikud Alf, beginning Perikud Alf of the Rambam of Hilchos Malachim. V'chol mi sheino ma'amin bo, and anyone who doesn't believe Mashiach is going to come. Listen to this. O mi sheino mechakel uviyato, or you're not awaiting His coming, you are a kofer in the entire Torah. You're someone who doesn't believe. Why? So he says, because the whole idea of believing in Mashiach and the Sipiyali Yeshua, he maskana muchracha memuna shlema, sheyudia ma'amin. Anyone who believes that in 6 days Hashem created the world, and on Shabbos He rested, realizes that the world that we have it now is not the way the Hashem envisioned this world. This is just like a temporary stopping point to the ultimate, whatever Olam Haba may be. Anyone who thinks that, okay, this is good, I can stop right here, then you're missing the vision that Hashem had. You're missing something in your emunah of the way Hashem envisioned the world to be. Rabbi Franden Print, 36. We are unfortunately like the 12th grader who told his Rebbe when the class was studying Gemara about anticipating the ultimate salvation. If you tell me it's a mitzvah to want Mashiach to come, I'll want him. But I really don't need Mashiach. I'm learning well. I'm succeeding. Why do you need Mashiach? We suffer from the same problem. We think to ourselves, we're honest, we're from, Yiddishkeit is strong in our city, who needs Mashiach? Since we're no longer in 12th grade, we know better than to articulate our own lack of longing for Mashiach. When we look deep into our hearts, we know we could ask the same question as that 12th grader. And he quotes here a beautiful mashal of Rav Schwab's Zatzal. Rav Schwab gave a beautiful parable for our state of being without Mashiach and our unawareness of the situation. Imagine you're at a wedding, like weddings. Everybody's well-dressed. The band is playing. The photographers are snapping away. The smorgasbord is wonderful. Everyone's having a grand time. Ah, one thing is missing. The bride has not shown up. No matter how attractive the surroundings, most of us realize that a wedding without a bride is nothing. Well, a world without Mashiach is a wedding without a bride. Only one difference. We don't even realize that the bride isn't here. Rabosai, this is our challenge. Our challenge is to be able to be mitzapeh for the Yeshua. The Sichur Yitzchazku takes us one step further in 37. The last Navi, the last parak of the last Navi, the first pasuk, describes when Mashiach is going to come, and describes it as Pitom Yavo Lehechalom, the Adon that you're anticipating, you're looking for. Pitom Yavo Lehechalom, he's going to come suddenly. On this in 38, the Chavetz Chaim writes, you know what Sipui is about, that relevant to all of us? We should wake up in the morning and say, maybe today Mashiach is going to come. And I have to arrange my day that what would be if Mashiach would come? Like, put that into my planner. We say for women it's a little bit easier to imagine this Chavetz Chaim than for men. Women who've ever had under second or third or any time after that pregnancy. So you don't know when you're going to go into labor, right? We're not talking about, you know, a C-section that's planned, right? You don't know you're going to labor. But you know in the ninth month that it could really happen any time. You know, sometimes you're early, sometimes you're late. And you have to figure out every day where all your kids are going to go in case you go into labor in the middle of the day. You know, on Monday and Wednesday, so-and-so will pick up the kids from God, and then Tuesday, Thursday, I need this arrangement. And then every day, you're like trying to figure it out and calling people, are you sure you can take? Because you don't know what's going to happen. That's how we should look at Mashiach. Like, where are my kids? You know, it's 10 o'clock. Do you know where your kids are? What was that, you know, news? Like, hello, do you know where your kids are? That's why we have cell phones, by the way, today. If you ever wonder what is the reason to give your child a cell phone, I'm not telling them to give them a smartphone, that I didn't say. But they should have some level of cell phone. The answer is just for this purpose. So when Mashiach comes, you'll be able to communicate. And I don't know if all the lines are going to be busy. That I can't help you with. But you'll be able to communicate with each other, to be able to go together, whether it's to the airport, whether to the hotel, if you're zochet to live in Eretz Yisrael, and to greet Mashiach yourselves. This is our challenge. And my friends, we know, as the Tav Adas points out in Source 40, that Shaitei Sipur Yitzhak Mitzrayim B'layla Zeh Yisrael Mitchaskim B'Emunatam L'Tzapot B'Chol Eid L'Biyas Mashiach Sekenu Sheyavo V'Galenu. So it's not only that he's going to come tonight, which is one aspect, but the longing for him tonight gives us the wherewithal, notes Rav Stern Bach Shlita, to anticipate him the entire year. It's a night where we build up on anticipation. It's a night we build up on desire. Moving to our final page, my friends. U'kishem she'yesh gulat ha'klal yesh gulat ha'prat. Just like we're talking about on the collective, we're talking about on the personal level as well. There are times that we go through difficulties, and we have to really be miming at all times that the redemption should come. As the Maran Mikuvran points out, Shagarua Biyoter, the worst thing is when a Jew, this is the Siva Shalom, when a Jew is Mashli Mimatzavo, when a Jew says, you know what, it's okay, I'll just be where I'm at. No! The way to bring Geula, the way to bring redemption, is through desire. Let's go back to Source 39 in the arrow. Shebekoach ha'amuna lahamshich hadavar shemamim bo. In believing in something, that is what's going to bring the redemption. B'schus emuna nigolu avoseinu v'mitzrayim, b'schus emuna atidim ligol. It was in the merit of Emunah that we were redeemed, and it's the merit of Emunah that we'll be redeemed in the future. My friends, it's a night of Shimurim. It's a night of watching. It's a night of anticipation. It's a night where this night itself could be the night of redemption. This is a night when I sit on Leil HaSeder to say, this is it. And the more I anticipate, the more I want, the more I have the ability to bring it. If you take a peek back at 7a, and then we'll end with one final idea after this, the soaring bring down. It might say Rokeach, where he says, do you know why we don't lock our doors on the night of Seder? So we said it's because we believe that Hashem protects us and we don't have to lock our doors. He said, no. She'eino olim ha'chadarim she'ishanim shem b'leil ha'pesach, because b'nisa nigalu b'nisa tidin ligael, d'chtiv leil shimurim, laila mishumar mishayshim e'breshit, the night that's been waiting since the time of creation. Ve'im yavo Eliyahu yimsa petach patuach v'netzei likrato mehera v'anu mamim b'zeh. I don't want to even wait a minute to have to unlock my door to go out and greet Mashiach. Why don't I lock the door on the night of Seder? Because I so believe Mashiach is going to come tonight that I don't even have to take that extra second. Let me find the key to unlock it and bolt it. Nothing. I open the door and I run out. I'm ready for Mashiach. On a personal level, on an individual level, that's for sure. On the national level, we have to realize that tonight, it's a night that we have to anticipate our personal redemption. So the night really has twofold aspects. And again, that night is really the entire year. It's just stronger on this night. I anticipate the national redemption, and it's a night that I have to be Leil Shimurim. I have to guard and watch and anticipate and long for personal redemption. What's the personal redemption? So note to Chochman and Matzpun, quoting the Marche Lev in 43. Gula Mitzrayim hi shtacharut mitumat Mitzrayim. Redemption from Egypt means I'm redeemed from the impurity of Egypt. And to whatever extent I am able to get out even a little bit of being immersed in the physicality of my world, to be able to come a little bit closer to Emunah, to Yirat Shamayim. Kol hagashah shel tosefet or zel gufa shel gula. If I feel bringing a little bit more light into my life, I make a commitment to do something that's going to keep me a little bit more connected to my Yiddishkeit. Zoya Shasha Adam Zochel Gula. This is the time to make these resolutions, this having awakened this desire. Because to a certain degree, that is redemption. Each and every one of us can be redeemed on the night of Pesach. Haftachato shakarsh baruch hu lechadesh et hagula b'chol shana teluy ad kama shadam mechin atzmo lekabel ota. To the extent that we are able to accept this, Hashem is ready and open to be able to give us. Where are we on the night of Seder? That's the question we have to ask ourselves. And that's why he notes in 45 and 46, one of the greatest blessings we got when we left Egypt was the first mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh. You know what Kiddush HaChodesh means? It means that we can sanctify time. It means that we can be mindful of what we're doing. That is redemption, where I'm not just going on a rat race, where I can be in control of my life. I can think about the mitzvah I'm doing. I can be mindful of the bracha. I can be mindful of the present moment. If I'm able to choose one bracha, one mitzvah, that I'm mindful and I think beforehand, what am I about to do in front of whom I'm about to do this, that mitzvah takes on a whole different element. If I'm able, as we began with coming full circle, to think about v'halachta b'drachav, I'm doing a chesed and following in Hashem's way before I do this kindness to somebody, I become a redeemed person. I become a different person. That's the redemption that we have to long for. Yes, the national redemption, but don't forget the personal redemption as well. And as the Be'er Chaim, Rav Biederman, speaks about in 41, A through D, this is a night of such intense closeness to Ribbono Shel Olam. It's as if in Makas Bechoros, the Maharal said, that Hashem lifted us up, that we became one with Him. This is a night in D, that v'chol sharei rachamim tuchim lefanav, and all the gates of mercy are open. This is the time that you should open up and daven for whatever you want. It's a time to be able to ask. And this is what my reel speaks about, why we eat an egg on the night of Pesach, because in Aramaic, egg is Be'a. Be'a is Melashon Tefillah. Becharbi u'bekashti b'slosi v'va'osi. This is what we're asking for. It's a night of Tefillah. It's a night of Ratzon. It's a night of connection to Hashem. It's a night to redeem ourselves. So my friends, when we talk about Lel Shimurim, it's a night of protection. Yes, it's a night of such intense chesed throughout generations. Hashem is waiting to redeem us. It's palatable. He loves us. As even at the time of strict justice, there's love. We need to be able to emulate Hashem and tap into this love and this desire to give to others. At the same time, my friends, as Hashem wants to give and this night is an auspicious time to give, we have to prepare the kelim to be able to receive this goodness. We can bring the redemption on a universal and personal level. The kelim for this, the receptacle is to daven for this, to want this, to really make this, that this is the most important things in our lives, and to have that emuna, that belief, that it will happen. The more we believe in something, the more that we don't just be satisfied with status quo and we want to change things, to that extent, we have the ability to actually make those changes happen. And my friends, keep in mind, when you keep those doors not totally locked on the Leil HaSeder, remember, it's a night where Hashem protects us, it's a night of intense love, and it's a night where at any moment, we're going to fly through those doors and greet Mashiach Tzidkenu.